The issues that matter most, right here. The Drew Mariani Show
on Relevant Radio.
There are significant threats to the world's largest economy after it hit the limit of how much it can borrow. If lawmakers don't act, the U.S. could run out of federal funds.
The U.S. government has basically maxed out its credit card, so the clock is now ticking to raise the debt limit or risk economic catastrophe.
The Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Yeah, what a mess, huh? What a mess. Let's talk about it. I talk to a lot of different people, and I'm just trying to get a sense on what's going to happen the rest of this year. Where are we going? I mean, what's the economy going to be like? Are we going to be slipping into a recession? Your food costs going to stay high? I've seen reports about credit card debt at all-time high, people carrying debt, living on their credit cards. As I was sharing with you right before the break, the markets closed mixed on the week. NASDAQ and S&P 500 made gains. Dow took a loss. I don't know how it did today overall, but I saw the last 2 days it was down. Overall, three indices are making gains over the start of the year, but who knows how long that's going to last. So many people are predicting recession. And I don't know how true that is. Nobody's got a crystal ball. You can ask my next guest, Peter Granich, when he joins me about that. Nobody knows in the future. Inflation numbers aren't so bad, or at least they aren't as bad as they were last year, but it's still taking a chunk out of people's paychecks. Last month's inflation figures, they were better, mostly because gas prices going down and the release of oil from our strategic petroleum reserves. But look, those prices are going back up. GasBuddy.com, it's an interesting site. If you check that out, it shows the national average bottoming out at about $3.05 a gallon, but climbing back up now to be around $3.40 a gallon. I don't know what you're paying. I know it varies from place to place, but that's putting a much bigger dent back into people's wallets. And you're seeing people only put small amounts of gas into their cars because they can't afford it. People are living on their credit card. Moody Analytics says that the average American household spent about $371 on goods and services last month. $371 more on goods and services last month than they did in 2021, December 2021. So, we're not talking a big span of time, right? I mean, think about that. And that doesn't include spending on Christmas gifts. Back in June, we were paying about an extra $500 a month. A friend of mine was saying they spent nearly $500 at the grocery store for a family of four. And that was just on basics, he said. He said he used to get out of there for a lot cheaper. That's because consumer debt is now up near record levels. People are putting groceries and gas and consumables in plastic. You might be doing the same thing. So, and then one final thought here, and let's talk about all this. Our government, right? You just heard that audio that Maggie ran at the top of the hour here. Our spending, our nation's credit card, if you will, right? It's reached its limit. It's maxed. We hit the debt ceiling, right? Congress has a ceiling for how much the government can borrow, and that's supposed to, of course, help us stop spending. And how many times do we keep seeing them, extend this and keep raising the ceiling, right? We're supposed to have a balanced budget. Our legislatures have never had the nerve to keep the spending under that amount. Every time, it seems to hit the ceiling. And Congress, of course, votes, and they voted to raise it because the administration, and it doesn't matter who's in power, Democrat or Republican, doesn't matter which party's in power, they yell, this is going to be a catastrophe. This is going to be horrible. The ceiling isn't raised. And of course, what does Congress do? It obliges them, right? Obliges them. I'm not a financial whiz kid. I don't have those insights. My next guest is. He used to be dubbed the financial whiz kid. He renamed himself the former Wall Street whiz kid. And I like to say he's made millions of dollars and he's lost millions of dollars and he's done it more than once. And his is an amazing story. If you ever want an interesting reader, you might hear Peter Granich on my show. Pick up his book. It's free. Confessions of a Former Wall Street Whiz Kid. Confessions of a Former Wall Street Whiz Kid. And he just tells his amazing journey. Peter's about the faith now. And, he really believes that it was the Catholic faith that led him to a true conversion. And he's trying to help people. Now he gives guidance on matters of finance through his company, Peter Granich & Company. But he wants to shine the light of faith on all that. And that's important. And I'll tell you what, Peter's been under a lot of, he's been under a battle lately, a struggle. I don't know how much of it he wants to share at some point, but, you know, he's battled depression. He's battled all sorts of other things, and he could certainly use your prayers. I just want to say that because I consider Peter a friend of our show here, a friend of yours and mine. He's contributed so much over the years, and when somebody is down, when they're sick, when they're out, when they're under the weather, when they are not operating at 100%, we should come together and support them, right? And we can do that with our prayers. So wherever you are, offer a prayer for Peter, all right? Maybe when you go to adoration or mass or when you pray your rosary or your chaplet or talk to the Lord, just lift up this man who certainly could use your prayers. Peter, it's good to have you back. Good afternoon.
Well, thank you, and your divine mercy today was so special. I can't tell you how special it was to me, and I've seen a lot of listeners, and Maggie, and what you shared about St. Faustina, and divine mercy is really needed here. As some of the things you just spoke about, and I'll be glad to discuss my personal situation too, but what you just spoke about is I put out today, and you know we've had this conversation now for years, that we just keep borrowing and borrowing, and our debt gets higher and higher, and they kick the can. But as I said in a blog post today, kicking the can down the road now is no longer a viable option. It's too big. It's too hard to push. And in what I believe is going to be the most dysfunctional Congress we had in the modern era, I don't see any real movement to it other than raising the ceiling again, which I think has been like 180-something times. And the debt crisis combined with this retirement crisis that is going to come to the forefront really doesn't bode well. I said today there's no magic bullets. There's no easy solutions. It took decades to get here, and both sides of the aisle are responsible. And I think it's going to take a whole generation of payback to at least make it manageable again. So I wish, you know, like I said, you pointed out so much news how people are surviving on credit card, and that can only last so long, Drew. Yeah. You know, you can only get to the point where you can only borrow so much. And Congress is going to, you know, go through this act again, and then at the last minute, you know, sign something and raise it again. They're not going to allow the country to default. But the issue is not going to go away, and it's something that really, combined with a series of other things, you know, I said today you can ignore the border crisis, but you can't ignore the retirement and debt crisis, because that affects everybody. Doesn't matter where you live and all. So There's unfortunately a lot of bad things out there that we're hoping that Congress can finally, you know, do the tough stuff. Now, let me say one thing.
Sure.
Something I didn't think would happen during my lifetime did. It was considered putting your foot on the third rail to talk about restructuring Social Security. And the odd politician that tried that basically was, you know, tossed out. But now both parties have spoken about the necessity, which it is, and doesn't bode well for that. And the same is going to happen to Medicare and Medicaid. And at a time when it's becoming more expensive for people, and the only way you can solve this problem was if there were more people paying in. And this demographics that's happened, the aging population in the U.S., China, Japan in 20, 25 years, is only going to have one person working for every person that's retired. And so these are issues that, you know, general people on Wall Street don't want to talk about. It's not going to be on the day-to-day news. But it is something that you and I have talked about. It's only getting worse, and there isn't really any movement to make tough, hard decisions to try to fix it.
Now, that's kind of frightening, I'm sure, for a lot of people.
It's frightening for you, Drew. Can I tell you this?
Sure.
It's frightening for me. You talked about my situation and all. I'm also concerned that I'm not prepared to live to 85 or 90. I'm not in that position. And what's it going to be like? What's it going to cost? The biggest fear among people is not just the fear of dying, but the fear of running out of money. I hear that from levels of people of earnings that you would have never heard 10 or 20 years ago. They had no fear of that. But it's come a fact of life, and that's why the inflation problem that, like you just said, somebody went in and spent $500 I mean, what you got for $500 just 5 years ago and what you get now changed dramatically. And then everybody, you know, hears this and we talk about you drinking the hemlock and all that stuff. But in all seriousness, it's impacting people like me too. And one other thing you talked about forecasting. The only thing you learn after looking at a crystal ball is you learn how to eat a lot of broken glass, Drew.
Yeah.
So no one really knows the future, but these issues are real. They've been neglected, and they've become acute.
My guest today is Peter Grandage. If you want to join us, feel free to. I'm going to open the phones. It's 888-914-9149. Put that in your speed dial, 888-914-9149. I want to get back to something you said. We can talk debt ceiling, a whole lot of things, but this aspect that Americans don't have money set aside for retirement, and you can understand why. I mean, cost of living is so expensive. We also live in a very consumeristic-driven culture where for decades, you know, it was all about how big your home could be or how many cars you have or what vacations you went to. It was about possessions. Not everybody was very balanced at maybe putting their money away like they should. What are we going to see? Are we going to see people working into older age? Will the government somehow be able to bridge this gap? I mean, what does this mean for people who say, gosh, you know, I don't have money to live past 85, or, you know, I've saved X amount of dollars, but that's not going to get me too far because the cost of living continues to rise.
Well, we put up on the blog today a chart. 1 out of 3 Americans have 0 saved for retirement. Another third have far less than anything. In fact, only 13% of Americans have $300,000 or more saved. Now, none of that, including those people, is going to get you through 20 or 25 years of retirement. And so this is an acute issue. You know, we have done a certain process we've tried in our planning that we do with people to – you know my theme, less is more.
Oh, yeah.
And for a lot of years, people didn't want to hear that, Drew. Until the market turned down last year, 8 out of 10 people walked away and went down to the street to the guy that had the happy black box.
Right.
Okay? And, you know, we talked about, and, you know, we sit with people and, you know, we see $2,000 in lease cars, and we says, you know, you can lease 2 cars for $400. And then they would say things like, well, what would my neighbors think if I'm just driving, you know, this model versus that and all. But
wow.
there are so many things. You know what irks me the most since you allowed me to free reign here?
Sure.
I'll tell you one of the things that irks me the absolute most. You can't watch a TV without seeing a commercial for some celebrity, you know, talking about how you can save 5% if you use this credit card, not bringing up the fact that the 95% that was spent on a thing that most people can't afford to begin with, that they're putting it on a credit card. And that's the philosophy. Debt became such a part of life. And in Scripture, there's not one positive verse in all of the Bible. And the entire thing, God knew the crisis that debt could lead to and all. And I would tell people to look at it and see what the good Lord has said about it. And I'm guilty of it too. So, you know, I know most people can't imagine that financial people can actually lose money and make mistakes.
Right.
But you know, I've done enough of that, and I've written about that enough. And I just think that a lot of people have just gotten too far, and the government's gone way beyond any means. And it's not just in the U.S., Drew. This is a worldwide Western world problem of debt. So,
yeah, you know, Peter, here's the thing. I can hear the frustration of a lot of people. And we'll go to the phones in a second. 888-914-9149 if you want to join us. A lot of people are saying, I'd love to save. You know, I'm 1 out of 3 or whatever the stat was you threw out. They'd say, but, you know, I've got kids, or, you know, I've had health issues, or I just make enough just to pay my mortgage or my car payment, you know. And for some people, it just seems unattainable that they'll ever have enough money to retire. What do people in that situation do?
Well, you said it, and that's what people don't want to hear, and that it's unattainable, and that, you know, barring hopefully the good Lord, there's family and families can come together. And, you know, that was the other part of things don't talk about, how families used to be, Drew. There was 3 generations of a family in a house. So even when grandpa and grandma got too old and couldn't work, the family took them in or was part of, you know, helping them assist them. And that has been lost. And quite frankly, the young folks who went out and speculated hard in the market and cryptocurrencies and all, many of them who were moved out are moving back in because they took a hit. So no one wants to just say it. Listen, that's unfortunately where the stance. It doesn't mean you give up. It doesn't mean you do something terrible to yourself. But these are the circumstances that are only getting worse, not better.
And you're thinking Social Security's in trouble?
Well, we know that we're told that within 10 or 15 years, the trust fund will be bankrupt. That the way it goes, because remember, there's no money sitting somewheres that was taken out. So when they took out you back in 2003, that money was spent, Drew. That I wasn't put in a bank and wait for you to, you know, to cash out and get paid it. So the things that they'll do, the first things they'll do is they'll raise the age limit. They'll raise the amount that they can charge people that are still working, and they'll probably put more taxes on the Social Security of people that are already collecting.
Right.
But that will probably be more of a Band-Aid than a solving problem. And, you know, there's all sorts of things kicked around, universal income, things of that nature and all, socialism type of stuff and all.
Yeah.
But it's a story that, Drew, since I've been on your show, it's been the case. It's just only gotten worse and worse because nothing was done about it.
Yeah, I agree, Peter. You know, one other thing I thought about you when I saw FTX go down. Have we talked? We haven't really spoken, have we, about crypto lately?
No.
What are your thoughts on what happened with crypto and all the people that invested in that?
Well, you know that there wasn't anybody more bearish at the height of the insane than I. I mean, you know, I took a very big stand, and I got, in the other interviews I do in the secular world, I got pretty well beaten up by people, you know, called an old hag. You don't understand this. It's the new way, and so forth and so on. But what's turning out is most of it is I don't want to say all of it was a scam, but it was certainly far more riskier and far more dangerous than people were told. And unfortunately, where the regulators, as they always do, they come late to the party. And there will be some survival because digital currency is going to be a way of the future.
Yeah, I agree.
But most of the cryptocurrencies just have disappeared. And the sad part about that is they used early on Bitcoin's gains when few people made those gains, but most of the people that bought it towards the highs. So a lot of money was lost on this. And widespread, not just in one or two areas. And that FTX, in my opinion, this is just my opinion, will be far worse than anything Bernie Madoff did.
Wow, that's huge. All right, let's go to the phones. We'll take a couple quick calls. I only have, Peter, maybe 10 minutes. So if you want to join us, 888-914-9149. Joe is listening in Passaic, New Jersey. Joe, good afternoon.
God bless you, guy. Okay. I work a part-time job. I'm retired. I made $33,000 a year last year driving a bus. I also get Social Security. Now I get $6,000 a year Social Security. They took $2,000 out of my paycheck to put back into Social Security. So that means I only got $4,000. Plus, I'm paying for Medicare $140 a month. And they're taking Medicare deductions out of my paycheck. So I'm working for nothing, basically. It doesn't pay to work.
Well, you know, Joe, the way I've described it to people over the years is more and more people are getting in the wagon, and those of us that are left to pull it is making it harder and harder and harder. And unfortunately, you've seen that. Here you are going out, working a job, and yet, like you said, it almost pays for me not to work the job. And that's the challenges. And it's widespread. It's not just Joe. It's not just New Jersey. It's, you know, it's all across. Now, there is a group at the high end, you know, that have done very, very well. But that's doesn't get down to the working class people. And, you know, one other thing Drew mentioned, I'll mention to you, is if you want to know how serious this is, just talk to people that run food banks anywhere in the country. They'll tell you not only is the number of people increased dramatically, but working class people who are showing up now that need that help as well.
Peter, I want to jump back into the phones, but let me just indulge myself. Unemployment numbers are down, right? My question to you, are they really down? I mean, what are the numbers of people who simply just are not working now, who aren't looking for work?
The payroll number that came out a week ago Friday was really a phony. I'll use the word phony. First of all, the government does these seasonal adjustments. They do these phantom assumptions that jobs were created. Here we see all the major technology companies, big companies laying off people and all, and they're saying it dropped. Then how they count in the payroll, Drew, is say like Joe was just, he was talking, say he had two or three part-time jobs. They will count him as three people employed, but it's actually one person working three jobs. And so part-time work really fed that increase. The employment situation is not anywhere as good. And the fact that, you know, we still have a lot of people who have not returned to the workforce or are working outside of the paid workforce, right, you know, off the books, things of that general as well. So it's just not, it's not the picture that gets painted.
Bonnie is listening in Wakefield, Rhode Island. Bonnie, thanks for joining us. Good afternoon.
Oh, hi. How are you?
Okay, we're hanging in there.
Yeah, reference to Social Security, Medicare, people that I know in my age bracket, I'm 77, whatever I am, 76, they actually think the government is going to take care of them.
Right.
And that's one of the problems. People really think that our government is going to take care of their Social Security, their Medicare. And another thing, people that invest in the market and, you don't invest what you can't afford to lose.
Well, Bonnie, it's great points. Let me let Peter pick up on that. I like what Bonnie had to say. She says people expect the government to take care of them. And I think that is a very common belief amongst a lot of people.
Absolutely. And, you know, Social Security was never supposed to be the cure-all for retirement. But one of the things the government did was it basically forced companies to stop pensions and went to the 401k plans. And that was all great when the markets worked. But now people who were dependent on numbers in their financial plan who sat and said, okay, it used to do this much, so we spread it out, it does it for the next 20 years, we can reach your goal. A lot of people became dependent on things that really shouldn't be. And she makes a very good point. But the government will be pressured to do something. I mean, that's the government is supposed by the people. And what they'll do is they'll try to borrow more money. But we're getting to the point where that borrowing is impossible. Drew, I never imagine, please, if I never appear on this show again, I will tell you on the life of my child that I would talk about trillions of debt, let alone $33 trillion in debt. When I started in the business, the United States was the biggest creditor nation. We never imagined $1 trillion. We have $1 trillion deficits now. And it's all too out of control. We're not alone in this. And tell you the truth, I think, as I said in our thing today, is it's going to take a generation of payback to at least make it manageable again. I'll be long gone.
Your kids and their kids will be dealing with it. Sarah in Fox Valley, Wisconsin. Thanks for joining us.
Oh, excuse me. Hi, Drew, and thank you for such a great show. You know, the one thing that makes me, I'm in the 60s range bracket, and we've saved despite having a large family. And I see when our government says, you know, well, socialism is better, you know, and they pile up on us green tax, the Ukrainian war, oh my gosh, inflation, and we've got these generous food credit cards that are given away to people who choose not to work, not because they can't, but because they just don't want to, and they're getting paid by the government. And every time you say government, it's really the taxpayers, right? We're headed for, I think they keep saying that we're not in a recession yet. Forget recession. I do think we're headed towards a depression. And I can't help but think, you know, how is it that the church, the government, people are thinking, oh, well, you know, we've got all these hands that are coming over the border. But let's face it, 1 million, 2 million, up to 5 million with no U-Haul trucks, you know, no anything with their previous possessions, we've got to start with these families that have nothing and provide them with something. It's like we're going to have to make monopoly money.
Well, Sarah, thank you. I'm going to let Peter respond because I have a moment or two left for him. And the theme of immigration's, I think, a good one to bring into this conversation, Peter, in this respect. I mean, we are not having kids in this country. Where I think our replacement rate is 1.8. You need to be at 2.1 in order to have a stable population. I hope we have more kids. But immigration can help bridge that gap. I think it should be done lawfully. Are these immigrants that are coming into the country, are they going to be a blessing to the future of our economy, or are they going to be a burden on it?
So my heading in my blog post, and I hate being... all the people that are listening, I didn't come here to upset your day and all. I'm just trying to... Wall Street has never wanted to talk these facts for these last several years. It has existed for a long time. But I said you can ignore the border crisis, but you can't ignore the retirement and debt crisis. Will those people turn into workers, reporting workers, and pay taxes and help supplement the people retired? Maybe, maybe not. From what little I know about it, they stay in an undermarket because they're illegal. They're not in, paying payroll tax or anything, something of that nature.
Right.
It's just an issue that, believe me, I'm as concerned about it for myself and my family, Drew, as most people I know that are listening to this. And unfortunately, my industry doesn't want to speak about it because it doesn't help business. Trust me, there's not a lot of people right now saying I want to call Peter Granich and deal with him because he just makes me upset. I don't want to hear that. I want to hear the good possibilities.
I know.
But the reality is, I told you when I got here on your show, I will only tell you what I truly believe is the case. And it's upset me. You know that I've struggled now with things because of what's transpired and so forth. But we have to not lose sight of this, that we have a God that knows this, and we have to trust in Jesus. And if we don't, forget trusting in some Republican or Democratic person or so forth and so on, trust in Jesus, pray to Jesus, and ask Jesus to intervene, because in the end, him and our Blessed Mother are really going to be the only people we're going to be able to count on.
Amen to that. Well, Peter, let me leave it at that point. Next time you join me, let's talk a little bit about where you are as well, okay? But I'm very grateful for your insights, your honesty, and your candor, and I'll make that call once again. Please say a prayer for Peter. He could certainly use your prayers. And Peter, I'm praying for you, okay, brother? You hang
Thank
in there.
You.
We're
God
here for you if you
everybody.
Ever need us. God bless you. That's Peter Granich. I've got some big news for you when I come back, and I will share this. Some breaking news coming across my desk. Representative Lauren Boebert has introduced a bill to defund Planned Parenthood. Wait till you hear about this. This hour is sponsored by Creative Planning. How is your Catholic faith influencing your financial future? More info, including disclosures at creativeplanning.com/Catholic Focus.
Be who God meant you to be, and you'll set the world on fire. This is the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
Hey, there's some news I want to get you plugged into regarding a bill to defund Planned Parenthood. I love it. Today's such an appropriate day to talk about that as we have the March for Life in Washington, D.C., and literally around the country, up and down the West Coast, and... Fox News was reporting not too long ago that Congresswoman Lauren Boebert of Colorado has introduced a bill that would require the government to defund Planned Parenthood for one fiscal year and instead send the money they normally get to what are known as federally qualified health centers that provide health care services such as pap smears and cancer and screenings and prenatal care. I think this is a brilliant idea. And I'll tell you why. I think, and I don't have the number in front of me, I'm pulling it from my head, but I know they get $500 million. I think it's $530 million a year. And what's their number one industry? You don't tell, it's not breast cancer screening. Don't tell me that. We all know what it is. It's abortion. That's why you spent so much money to lobby for this, right? Could you imagine? Could you just imagine if Planned Parenthood was defunded? I'll tell you what, shockwaves right now are reverberating, right? She said, here's what the congresswoman said. She said, instead of funding Planned Parenthood, my bill will redirect this funding to community health centers that focus on healthy women, and helping them, not killing babies. Not killing babies. And this is really where the fight for life is. We're done trying to, you know, overturn Roe v. Wade. It's overturned. It's gone, right? There is no constitutional right to abortion, period. That's the reality. So where are we now? This is a legislative battle. It's on the state front. And I think there's some really good reason people should be concerned about this, because last year, you know, the federal government, and I don't know how you feel about it. I mean, I don't like the idea that I work very hard and my tax dollars go to fund, indirectly, the largest abortion provider in the country to the tune of $530 million. Maybe it's $630 million. I forget the last number I saw. It's up there, though. It's a big dollar amount. And that's, you know, that's just a drop in the bucket to the Health and Human Services overall budget. You know what their budget is? $1.2 trillion. We're talking with a T. $1.2 trillion to the HHS. So what's $633 million, $530 million, whatever the number is, to Planned Parenthood, right? Let's help moms. Let's help these women who find themselves in crisis, who need help. You know, these agencies don't want a woman to have an ultrasound. They do not want that, because then the woman will know it's a human being, it's a life, deserves life. You know, but $600 million going to kill a child. It's your tax dollars and mine. I don't want to go in there. I'd rather have my money help somebody, provide for the pregnant mother. You know, the act, by the way, and maybe today say a prayer for it. Maybe we can engage in the spiritual. You might think, Drew, that's unbelievable. What can I do? Pray. Call Congressman Boebert and say, hey, good job. I'm very grateful for it. You know, Maggie just said to me in my headset, let's pray a memorial. Maggie, let's do that. Because I think if we pray, the act, by the way, is called the Defund Planned Parenthood Act. It's been co-signed by 29 members of the House of Representatives so far, and it may get passed by a slight majority of the House. Unfortunately, that's as far as it's going to get, since, as I've been sharing with you for months now, the Senate is still controlled by the Democrats. And guess who sits at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, right? Who's got a pen? He's Catholic, I'll give you a hint, right? He claims he's Catholic, but he's a champion of the culture of death. He's all about abortion. That's Joe Biden, and he'll veto anything that makes it pass, you know, the Senate, although I don't think it'll make it pass the Senate. But Planned Parenthood has said that in the past, that defunding the entity would, their argument for not doing this, don't take money away from us, because what it means is you're going to block patients who depend on public health care funds from getting their care at Planned Parenthood centers. Well, we'll see. So if that's, you know, if that's what it means to me, good. Let them find another way. But we'll at least be saving lives. They can go to their health care somewhere else, and it'll be a lot safer for babies. Maggie said, let's pray a memorial. Let's do it, Mag. I think it's a great idea. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. And we just turn to the Mother of Life, the Mother of Mercy. And we ask our patroness, under the Immaculate Conception, patroness of America, and the patroness of the Americas, Our Lady of Guadalupe, who vanquished a culture of death, to intercede for us. We'll pray this powerful prayer that I really think we have over 500 of them, 500 million of them prayed here together as a family at Relevant Radio. You, me, people all across the country. 70-some bishops have led this prayer. We are going to pray for an end to the culture of death, that by some grace, this defund Planned Parenthood Act gets passed. We'll pray for our legislators. Remember, O most gracious Virgin Mary, that never was it known that anyone who fled to your protection, implored your help, or sought your intercession was left unaided. Inspired by this confidence, I fly unto you, O Virgin, of virgins, my mother. To you I come, before you I stand, sinful and sorrowful. O Mother, the Word incarnate, despise not our petitions, but in your mercy hear and answer us. Amen. I'll give you a little secret. I'll give you a little prophecy. I'm going to ruin the story for you, all right? I'm going to tell you how it all ends. Life wins, okay? In the end, good conquers evil. In the end, Satan's head will be crushed. And if you are on the side of life, you are on the right side. What can you do right now? I don't know. You know, you could support causes that help advance education and put into office good political people. Above all, you can pray. I think that'll make a big difference. Kathy's listening in Orange County, California. Hey, Kathy, good afternoon. Thanks for joining us.
Hi there, Drew.
Hey.
I've thought for a long time I wanted to start some kind of a campaign that says, stop using my tax money for abortions.
I love
it. Or why is it that you're only paying for medical that's related to abortion? They don't pay for people's chemo. They don't pay for people's heart replacements. They don't pay for people's dialysis. Why are we only doing this with sexually connected things? Either your transsexual medications, anything that's anti-life. So what if on our IRS, you know, we submit our taxes, you say, I want my tax money to support, and you either have the option of supporting abortion or supporting pro-life.
I love
that. You know what? Don't use my money for something else.
Oh, I love it. That's such a brilliant idea. That's genius. Look, sometimes, you know, being called to something great, you think that's too big for me. I really encourage you to start your campaign. And you know, let's get a grassroots movement going. I'd love the idea of somehow being able to allocate where you want that money to go. Probably won't happen, you know, but we'll see what happens. I mean, I'd love to check the box. Yes, use this portion of my taxes to defend life, not to defund it. So, or not to take it, I should say. Kathy, great ideas. God bless you for your vision. I hope you do something with it. And I hope others who listen to you right now across the country will maybe pick up your idea and help you carry that torch. I think it's a great idea. You know, she's right when she talks about, you know, it's all about transgender medications and, you know, hiding from parents their child's been raped or impregnated or whatever that may be. Planned Parenthood's nefarious. And I'll say it as I say it. I really believe that. Maggie was saying to me, the American Cancer Society gets $0 from this federal funding, right? Think of all the people you know that are battling cancer. Wouldn't it be nice to have a little reprieve as well? So we'll see. Anyway, I love those ideas. I love people who want to think outside the box. Cindy's in St. Paul, Minnesota. Cindy, thanks for joining me today. Good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. 48 years ago, I was a victim of criminal sexual assault, and I was literally homeless, motherless, jobless, penniless, a teenager, and pregnant by rape. And I have an incurable physical disability. All the reasons they told me I was the perfect candidate for an abortion. I had my daughter, and I want you to know, no matter what circumstances of her conception were, never determined the quality or sacredness or value of her life. And right now, believe it or not, she's happily married 18 years as a mother of 5 kids and a college graduate.
Oh, that's awesome.
And I'm a very grateful, doting grandma. And I just want you to know, there's absolutely no reason ever to abort a baby. I had them all. And I have no regrets and a clear conscience.
I love your story so much because, Cindy, and you know this better than anybody does. You know, a lot of people object to abortion. They think, I think it's wrong, except in the case of rape, except in the case of incest or the life of the mother. And those are caveats. And I think today, you know, as you point out, you'd be the perfect woman to go through with this. You were raped as a young girl, homeless, had all these other challenges. And now today you celebrate the gift of your yes, right? You have a beautiful daughter and you are a wonderful grandmother. What a blessing to you and what a witness to others. What would you say to those who say, you know, Drew, I'm with you. I think life is sacred. I think it should be defended, but I can't have my daughter be raped or my wife or somebody else and have to carry that child.
I'll explain that and give you perfect reason. My inner healing began with her first smile, her first tooth, her first words, and her first steps. My life was all about Jennifer, not about the rape. If people would just trust God and live in the moment, they wouldn't worry about it. And I'm a fulfilled grandma.
Yeah. Well, you know what? You're not carrying the scars of having, you know, terminated your child, killed your child. And a lot of mothers unfortunately do. And today you've been blessed with the gift of life and grandchildren as well. Can I just say thank you, Cindy? I'm really grateful for your call because I know that you're speaking to women right now who need to hear this message. You're here, there's legislators listening. There are people out there who bought into this aspect of this discussion on life. And this is the little area they carve out where, I'm against it, except for here. So God bless you for your witness.
Well, thank you so much. And my testimony is absolute proof that abortion is never, ever necessary. God bless you. Thank you, Drew.
Thank you, Cindy. Love it. Love her passion, huh? She is so sweet. I love it. Hey, I've got to take a short break. When we come back, we'll talk more. Okay, we got a lot to get into. The show just flew by today. I don't know where it went. I want to encourage you to travel with me to Italy, too. So I'm going to put that on your radar. I'll tell you more about it. But if you go to relevantradio.com/Italy, you'll get all the details. I'm going in September. So grateful for Relevant running this trip. And it's going to be a Eucharistic revival pilgrimage. We're going to see sites of Eucharistic miracles, have papal audiences, see the Sistine Chapel and the Colosseum, and so much more. This hour is sponsored by Creative Planning. How is your Catholic faith influencing your financial future? More info, including disclosures at creativeplanning.com/Catholic Focus.
You'll get some real Catholic answers right here. It's the Drew Mariani Show on Relevant Radio.
It's great to be back here with you today. Thank you so much. Such a delight to be able to talk with you. I'll take a few more calls. What a great last call that was, huh? That was something else. And I'm so grateful for Cindy to call in. And I'm so grateful to be able to hang out with you. Just a quick programming note. I am heading on this pilgrimage. I really hope you'll be able to join me on it. As I said, we're going to go to places where St. Francis of Assisi received the stigmata, where the Eucharist turned to human flesh and blood, and you can pray before that. We'll have Mass there, where Padre Pio spent hours in the confessional. We'll have a papal audience. We'll go ahead and, we'll have time just to play together, pray together, and just have just a time that enjoy the beautiful Italian countryside. If you want more information, you simply go to relevantradio.com/Italy. There'll be a brochure there. There'll be a phone number for Nativity Pilgrimage. They're the ones coordinating it for Relevant. And just call them, ask them about the details, and they'll fill you in. All right? Hey, I want to talk a little bit more about what's happening. I spoke when I began the show about what was happening on the East Coast. We had this massive march. If anybody has numbers for how many people showed up, I'd love to hear from you. But I also want to talk a little bit about what's happening on the West Coast as well. And, there's a great campaign out there called One Life. One Life LA is going to have a wonderful event happening this Saturday, and I hope you'll get plugged into it. Archbishop Gomez will be joined by thousands, including inspiring speakers. And I'll get you the website. I think it's simply just One Life LA. I would assume .com, but I'll find out in a moment. But they've got an incredible lineup and a lot going on. I hope you can do your part to be a witness for life, whatever part of the country you are in. But I want to welcome to the program Chica, and how do you say her last name? I think it's Anyawu. She's a Catholic evangelist and a contributor to a lot of Catholic youth and young adult and adult resources. She's the author of My Encounter, How I Met Jesus in Prayer. Hey, great to have you with me today, Chica. Thanks for joining me. Chica with me? Hey, Chica.
Yes, I'm here.
I can hear you now. Thanks so much for being with us. Great to talk with you. Hey, the National Life March for Life took place today, of course. People are talking all about it. The Walk for Life West Coast, that's going to be taking place tomorrow in San Francisco. I talked a little bit about that yesterday. There'll be a March for Life in St. Paul, Minnesota on Sunday. And I encourage every Minnesotan who's listening, get out. All right. Some very radical bills being considered by your legislature this year. But there's another event that's unique among a lot of these demonstrations. I was just talking a little bit about it. One Life LA, started by the Archdiocese of LA. I think it was back in 2015, they have this one-day event, and it's meant to catalyze, if you will, a movement of love and mercy. And I think that's so needed in light of all the vitriol and division that we have. What's unique about it, it has a much wider focus on life. It's not just about abortion. It's a look at homelessness, about human trafficking, about so many other things, foster care, adoption. These are things we need to talk about. And Chica, I know you're a big part of this. Fill everyone in on what's going on and you know, what, I guess what the next step is in this conversation when it comes to life.
Yeah, I'm really excited to be a part of One Life LA, where, you know, thousands of Catholics and even non-Catholics around the San Bernardino, San Diego, Los Angeles counties and dioceses are coming together in solidarity to talk about being holistically pro-life, that yes, we absolutely need to advocate against abortion and for systems to be put in place for the welfare of mothers and fathers who desire to parent their children and to parent them in good, wholesome, healthy communities. And to do that, to have those communities, we also need to look at the homeless situation or the houseless situation. How do we respect the life and the dignity of those who are differently abled, and so on and so forth? It is an absolute joy to be a part of a movement that isn't just about, hey, let's march, but also looking at what will happen after the march takes place.
Yeah, all these different things have an impact on life. How can people help? How can they attend? What's the best way to connect?
Come. So tomorrow afternoon, we will be at Olvera Street, La Placita in Los Angeles, and arrive early and get to mingle. There's a youth and young adult rally in the afternoon, and then we will march through the streets. And just be aware, it's whether it's here in San Francisco or in D.C., of course, there will be people who do not appreciate this message or do not want to hear the message. And the best thing that we can do is be men and women of courage and of faith. So as we are marching, we're also praying for the conversion of hearts, that just our presence alone, as well as our voice, will bring about conversions of hearts and transformations. And hopefully people will see and want to know more and get connected, especially through the Office of Life, Peace, and Justice here at the Archdiocese of Los Angeles.
I love it. If you're on hold, I'm going to try to get your call on the air in a minute or two. If you're just tuning in, getting you plugged in, especially on the West Coast, to an incredible event. What is the website? Is it, I want to make sure I have the right tag. Is it onelifela.com.org? What is the best way to connect?
Oh, you will have to forgive me, but I do not know what the dot part is. But if you just put One Life LA into your search engine, into Instagram, you'll be able to find it.
Well, my crack team of producers are faster than the both of us together. OneLifeLA.org.
There you go.
There you go. And you have to spell out the word one. It's O-N-E-LifeLA.org and show it. I only have a moment or two left. Cheeky, I have some final thoughts from you. And I'm so grateful for what you're doing. I think this really is so important. And I'd love to see this not just in L.A. I'd like to see this all over the country, because we do need to let people know that they're valued, that they're loved, that there are alternatives, that adoption is there, positive alternatives to abortion are there. We need to address this issue of euthanasia in the country, the end of life. We need to deal with human trafficking. So final thoughts for you, from you.
Yeah, so this also includes, you know, we're talking about racism. We're talking about all the things that you just mentioned. And I love seeing that communities are gathering together to really build a life that we want, not just for ourselves, but for future generations, that we are looking at what heaven is going to look like, right? Which is people of every race, nation, and tongue praising God. And that is our desire, to have that piece of heaven here on earth. So it is a joy to be part of that. And I hope people are not discouraged. I know it's hard, and it's there are some very frustrating parts to it, and we just need to continue to be people of courage and faith and do what Jesus did and keep going.
I love it. Well, God bless you. Keep up your good work. I'll join you spiritually in prayer, and I hope everyone can come out. More information at onelifela.org, onelifela.org. Check it out and show up and let your presence be felt. Hey, Chica, thanks.
God bless you. Thank you so much.
God bless you. Great to talk with you. All right, just a moment or two left. Richard in Rancho Cucamonga, California. Good afternoon.
Hi, Drew. Well, I'm just, you know, I wish I knew that One Life LA was going on tomorrow, because I would definitely be there. But, you know, I didn't know anything about it. But I know now, so I will be more unplugged with that. But one of my main reasons why I called is because, so me and my wife were you know, we're struggling with fertility right now, so we're going the fostering adopt route. But, you know, we're doing this all ourselves. And I know your son's going through the adoption process. So I think you know how expensive it is. I don't know if it varies from state to state, but it is super expensive. We have no support. Yeah. We have no help, just our family, and me and my wife are doing it on our own. Wow. And I just wish they could deflect some of that millions of dollars that Planned Parenthood is getting and give it to the people that really want children and help us out.
Yeah, it's, you know, Richard, first of all, I'll say a prayer for you, okay? I'll pray for you and your family. Pray for my son. You're right. I mean, adoption is in the tens of thousands of dollars, as you know, and it's unaffordable for a lot of people, and that's a tragedy. It really is. My son is fostering a child right now, and boy, I've already fallen in love with this little baby. And I'm going to pray for you and for so many others who are walking in your shoes. And you're right. We should be this is the next phase. I think this is the next part of the conversation. You know, it's not just about stopping women from having an abortion and educating them. It's by saying, look, life is a really great alternative. And look at these couples that you can bless with that gift. Tony Dungy adopted 8 kids. He gave a talk at the March for Life earlier today. And I think this is just the next chapter in a book that's being written. Let's do our part, okay? I got to leave it there, though. I'm out of time for the day. I want to thank you for allowing me to be part of your afternoon. God bless.